Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
I want to let you know, y'all, we just came off a 21-day fast. Do you remember that? And I had to go on pause on my fast for a reason I'll tell you about later. So it continued, and so we had that women's event Friday night. It was a Parisian cake party. It was fun. Guess who was fasting and didn't get any? And I was fasting yesterday, and then to this morning, the fast is broken, and God has provided manna. And I am really excited about this, and this looks delicious. Matter of fact, I remember when I was a kid, we would go to church, and it was kind of close to a donut shop. We didn't have a lot of money when I was a kid, so we wouldn't go and get like a dozen donuts, but a lot of times we would maybe go get a donut, and then we would share the donut. And when you go to share the donut, I always like donuts with the stuff on the inside. And I didn't want to take a bite and get the air pocket. You know what I'm talking about? If you're going to get your bite, you want the good stuff. So I would squeeze the donut. Can y'all see this? Wait, get a nice tight shot here. I'll hold real still. I'll wait. It's okay. Do, 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 do. This is a promo for the game show. Do, do, do. Hey, look at that. Oh, man. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And I always wanted to make sure I got the good stuff. But the good stuff wouldn't come out without the press. Everybody say the press. So I want to talk to you about what is on the inside of you today that God might need to press on you just a little bit. You remember the Pillsbury Doughboy? You'd press and he'd go, hee hee hee. I'm just wondering, what's on the inside of you? What gifting? What talent? What tenacity? What not today, Satan? What, no, I know that promise and the Bible is mine. What is on the inside of you that we might have to press on it just a little bit? Let God press on it just a little bit so that it comes out. Are you willing to let God press on you today? So the title of this message, if you're a note taker, is called Crushing It. Are you ready to crush it? It's called Crushing It, Using the Press to Bring Out the Best. So let's start in Matthew 25. If you got your Bible with you today, let's turn to Matthew 25. And we're going to start in verse 14. And I'm not going to read it to you, but I am going to tell you the story. And in Matthew 25, verse 14, it tells the story of these three guys whose boss was leaving town. And if multimedia wouldn't mind following along, putting the scriptures up there, this is a story that actually Jesus told. And he's got these three guys that are working for him, so he's got to entrust them with the business. So he gives one guy five talents. He gives one guy two talents, and he gives another guy one talent. Now, back in the day, talents were bags of coins. But I don't think that the Bible uses any language on accident. Because I think a lot of us wish we had five talents. We think we could have two talents, but we're pretty sure that we only got one talent. You see, in John 8:44, it says that Satan is the father of lies. And he uses that gifting, he uses that talent of his to talk to us all the time and tell us, you're really no good, you don't have any talents, you're not really gifted, what are you, you're tenacious, what is that anyway? Oh, you're really tall, how could you ever use that? Think of me, my gifting is talking, and I don't even talk as much as my husband. I'm not even the best at what I do in my house. Those are the kind of things the enemy will tell you. So we think that we're one talent people. Say, I want you to say out loud, tell your neighbor, say, I have more than one talent. So the master goes out of town. He comes back some weeks later and he goes to the guy with five talents. And he says, hey, I gave you five talents. Tell me what you did with it. And the guy with five talents says, hey, man, I know you are a businessman. You hustle, you bustle, you move, and you groove. I know how you work. You take a little and you make a lot. I have watched how you do it. Therefore, I did what you do. So I took this five talents and I turned it into 10. And God turned to him, Jesus, So the master turned to him and said, "Thy good and faithful servant, I'm giving you 5 more. Goes over to the guy with 2 talents. He said, "Hey, bro, tell me what you did while you were working." He's like, "Everybody work, 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 work. I put my hand to the plow. I made it happen. I watched what you did. I did that too. So I took those 2 talents and I made 2 more. And the master said, "That good and faithful servant, you took what I gave you and you turned it into more. I'm giving you 2 more talents. So comes to the last guy with 1 talent. He said, "Okay, buddy, tell me how you did." The guy with 1 talent immediately says, "Well, I know you're a hard man." He's already blaming somebody else. "I know you like to profit where you didn't even make any investment. And I knew you'd be upset if I lost the money, so I hid my talent in the ground. I buried it. And here's your money back." You know what? God has invested into you. He doesn't want it back. He wants you to take it. And he wants you to grow it. And he wants you to sow it. And he wants you to use it. And he wants you to change the world with it. And he looked at that guy and he said, "No, you didn't use what I gave you. Now I got to give it to somebody else." Not because he was trying to be mean to that guy, because God needs this talent of yours in the earth. He needs you to use it. And if we won't use it, he's going to ask somebody else to do it for us. He's got a job. He needs to get it done and he needs us to do it. Therefore, he gifted you with it. Come on, somebody, give God a good amen. The faithful over the little become the ruler over the much. Look at your neighbor right now and said, "I always knew there's a little something in you." Some guy just went, "I always knew there was a little something in you." So let's look at a guy who feels a lot like we do. His name is Gideon, and he's in Judges 6. And if you turn to Judges 6, in Judges 6, it's actually 6, 7, and 8. I'm going to go ahead and tell you this story too. And in Judges 6, Gideon is in this space. In verse 11, it says, "The angel of the Lord came and sat beneath a great Oprah tree." This is the way I read my Bible. I open it up and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, he was at Oprah's house sitting under a tree. I so want to be there." So I don't think it was at the Oprah's house. It was kind of like that. But anyway, Gideon is under this tree. And he was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press. That's really easy to look over in the Bible, but like I said, nothing's accidental. So we'll get into that in 1 second. And while he was down there, the angel of the Lord came to him and said, "Mighty hero, the Lord is with you." Well, let's go into this. It says he was threshing wheat down there to hide it from the Midianites. So here's the backstory, because everybody knows there's always a backstory, right? So the Midianites are at war with the Israelites. And the way they're beating them is they are starving them to death. They stole all their cows, they stole all their goats, all their sheep, all their animals, and then they let them grow the food. They let them harvest the food, but once they harvest the food, they come and steal their food. So now they're weak, they're emaciated, and they're literally starving to death. So he can't take the wheat. He's got to hide while he gets his harvest. The enemy wants you to hide while you get your harvest. He doesn't want anybody to know that a Christian could be blessed. He doesn't want anybody to know that a Christian could have a good marriage. He doesn't want anybody to know that a Christian could have joy in a time of stress and trouble. He's trying to get you to hide that. So Gideon says in verse 14, the Lord turns to him and says, "Go with the strength that you have and rescue Israel." And Gideon says what a lot of us would say. It's like, "Oh, God, you got the wrong person for this job. You see, I'm really busy. I'm actually hiding while I'm doing this job. I've actually had enough. There is enough pressure in my life." He said, "My clan is the weakest, and my family is the least in my clan. You see, I'm the tiniest of the tiny. I barely got anything at all. I'm hiding in the bottom of the wine press, threshing wheat. You got the wrong man." You see, Gideon is hiding in this pressure. Anybody got any pressure in their life? Gideon's hiding and buckling underneath the pressure, but God is calling him out to lead. My friends, anybody who said that there's pressure in your life, I'm telling you right now, you're feeling the weight of the world on your shoulders, but God is calling you out to lead. He's calling you to lead in your community, lead in your life, lead at your school, lead in your family, lead at your church. He's calling you to lead, and I connect. You're upset because you don't feel fulfilled. But it's hard to feel fulfilled in the press. We got to let God press it out. Everybody say, press it out. Because there's stuff on the inside, and sometimes it's just got to come on the outside. And I'll tell you what I mean. Remember when I told you I needed to extend my fast because I took a break? Let me tell you about my break. It was unintentional. I was headed to Australia, and I was leaving from West Palm Beach area, so I flew from Miami to L.A. It's a six-hour flight. I had a layover in L.A. The first part was American. Then I go to get on Qantas for 16 hours from L.A. to Melbourne. So on that first flight, I'll get on the plane, and they're like, oh, hello, Miss Crank, frequent flyer. You have an upgrade. We're taking you to first class. And I'm like, the Lord loves me. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Glory to God. So I go up there, and not only do I get an upgrade, which means I get food, which is very important to me, but I also get a lay-down seat. So we're fasting, and I couldn't only eat parts of what they brought me, but they had a salad, and I could eat that with no dressing. I was on a Daniel fast with protein, so they brought me these beef capriccio, this thinly sliced kind of raw beef with no sauce or gravy on it. And I'm like, okay, I can eat those two things out of what they brought. So I eat it, I'm happy about it, and I go kick back to take a little rest because the rest of the blessed is sweet, and I'm laying there, and everything is great until that feeling is not right. It's very wrong. Oh, good Lord, the airplane bathroom is right behind me, and I'm so glad because I need it that close. Now, I know that y'all probably know I'm a germaphobe, and there is nothing I want less than to get sick in an airplane bathroom. And so I'm trying to keep what is on the inside of me, on the inside of me. But I end up with food poisoning in an airplane bathroom because what was on the inside of me just had to come out. Sometimes what's on the inside of you just has to come out. Turn to your neighbor and say, but not like that. Not like that. You see, a lot of the good stuff, we try to bury it, and we're not supposed to bury our talent. We're supposed to bury our fear. And Gideon was afraid of what would happen if he would step up. He was afraid of what would happen if he didn't quit. He was afraid of what would happen if he stepped out. But there's significance in the where. Significance in the where. Yeah, where. Where was he when God was talking to him? He was in the bottom of the wine press threshing wheat. So let me talk to you about that process for a second. The way they threshed wheat, and I actually brought a picture with me. They can put it on the screens for TV and online and then put it on the center screen for me after that. So what happens is they go on the top of the highest hill because that's where the wind is the best. They throw all the wheat on the ground, and then they have all the oxen, and they have all the donkeys and the animals. They tread on top of the wheat so that they separate the staff and the leaves and all the other parts from the wheat. Then they get these discs, and they throw it up in the air. And because there's a high breeze on the hill, that blows off all of those other pieces, and only the wheat is heavy enough to fall back on the ground. And they throw it up in the air again and let it fall on the ground. And they create this huge wheat cloud of all this stuff blowing away, which is a real problem if you're trying to hide from the enemy. So instead, he went to the bottom of a wine press. And if you put that on the screens for TV and then on the center screen behind me, wine presses a lot of times were even in a cave. And it didn't just say in that verse that he was in the wine press, it said he was in the bottom of the wine press. So the wine press has this higher part where the grapes start, and then the juice drains out to another one, and then they press it there, and then it goes down to the bottom. So way down in the very bottom of that bottom hole, that's where he was. He was in the deepest part of the press.
Well, I don't really know what significance there is in that where.
Well, neither did I until not that long ago. I think God had us in Northern California, and now I know why we were there. And while we were there, we were passing all these wineries. I didn't really realize it's this big wine country like this. And it just started speaking to my heart. God is the winemaker. He doesn't put new wine in old wineskins. Jesus' first miracle was he turned water into wine. I'm like, there's a significance here that God wants in us. So I saw this billboard, and I'm like, let's go in there. And what I found out is we went on a three-hour tour. I learned more probably than I wanted to know, but then God started bringing things to light on the inside of me. You see, what happens is the grapes come off the vine, and they put them in a crushing. Everybody say, in the crushing. And in the first crushing, 60 to 70% of the juice comes out of the grape. You know what I find interesting about wine grapes? Is if you go and you're starving and you pull a wine grape off the vine and go to eat it, it tastes terrible. You'll spit it out. You see, your talent is no good to anybody unless you at least crush it. I love it.
I don't know if I'm excited about being crushed.
Everybody say, it's okay. You see, this is only one thing when you look at it from the outside. But when you press on it, everybody say, press on it. That's when the good stuff comes out of it. That's my favorite part of the message right there. So 60 to 70% of the juice comes out. But after the crushing, everybody say, after the crushing. After the crushing is when it gets really good. You see, that's when a lot of us want to stop. We find Jesus.
For a minute, we think life is all rainbows and unicorns. I just think my life is going to be wonderful. Jesus, the sun is going to sunshine on my life, all my life.
And then something happens and we're like, oh gosh, I'm going through a trial and all this temptation and it's crushing me. And we come out on the other side and we're like, the righteous of the Lord is blessed. I have come out on the other side in victory. I have stood my trial. Nothing's happening to me ever again. I am a woman, a man of faith and power. And then, everybody say, and then. You see, that's where the 60 or the 70% comes out. But that's the wine that they sell at the gas station for $1.99. They literally call the wine Two Buck Chuck. It's made by a guy named Charles. And one time he was asked, Charles, why is your wine cheaper than water? He said, you're paying too much for the water. But it's the cheap stuff. Everybody say the cheap stuff. God did not create you to live a cheap life. God did not create you to live 60 or 70% of the blessing that he has for your life. God wants you to have a full life. God wants you to have an enriched life. God wants you to have an awesome life. But if we're always running away from him, never letting him pull that stuff out of us. Now, I'm not saying God's going to do anything to you. That's the enemy's job. But I am saying Romans 8:28 says God works all things together for the good of those who love Christ Jesus. The enemy's going to try and make you bitter with the trial, but if you let God, he will make you better with this trial. God is on your side, and the blood has been applied. There is value on the inside of you. There is strength on the inside of you that you didn't even know about. And I love that God is the winemaker, because the next step is the press. Everybody say, in the pressing. They crush it. They rotate it. They break it up, and then they press it. And the second press, with modern equipment, they use hydraulics to measure it just enough where they get everything they can out of it. But if they break the seed, the whole batch becomes bitter. God's going to press you, but not break you. Reminds me of 2 Corinthians 4. We're persecuted, not abandoned, pushed down, but not destroyed. He's going to let the enemy press us. And we're going to come out on the other side stronger than before, with more talent than before, with more gifting than before. There's more on the inside of you than you ever thought there was. And God's going to bring it out of you. Turn to your neighbor right now and say, let him bring it out. God created you like a jelly donut.
I don't know that that's in the Bible.
Well, I'm here to tell you that it's not, but give me a minute. The very best giftings, the very best talents, the very best abilities. Look, when I press it now, it's not even just coming out the top. It's also coming out the bottom. It's all on the inside of you, and it's tied directly to your purpose. He's equipped you to fully succeed in life. Anything that you need to make it through this trial, anything that you need, Denny and Becky, to make it through this, anything that you need to move forward, anything that you need to break out of what you're stuck in, anything you need to make it through this funk, anything you need to make an impact on the world, anything you need to make the devil eat it, it is in you, because greater is he who is in me than he is in the world. He's not left you here. He has never left you. He has never forsaken you. He has been with you the whole time. I'm telling you, God's got more for you. Everybody say, bring it out, God. Bring it out, Jesus. Jesus never thought that God was further from him and never felt further from God. God, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? Where are you, God? And yet he was never closer to fulfilling God's purpose for his life. When he feels the farthest, he's the closest. He doesn't leave you, but he will pull it out of you. Reminds me of the bartender. Did she just go from Jesus to a bartender? I did. I felt it appropriate since we were talking about wine. I read this story about a bartender who his challenge was he would cut a lemon in half and he would squeeze as much out of it as he could, and he would give $1,000 to anyone in the bar who could squeeze out one more drop of lemon juice. So everybody come in and try. Weightlifters try. Carpet layers have really strong hands. They'd try. And other bartenders would try. And CrossFit guys would try. Nobody could get one drop for years. And then one day this little guy walks in.
It's this little bitty, tiny, skinny white guy. He was kind of short and he weighed about 100 pounds. And he had on a little polyester suit and these big glasses. And he was kind of nerdy looking. And he said, "Excuse me, sir, I read about your challenge. And I would really like the opportunity to try and squeeze the lemon." The whole bar did what you just did. They laughed at him.
So the bartender said, "Sure, buddy, knock yourself out. Here you go." And he squeezed this lemon and there's nothing left in it. And he hands it to the guy and said, "Have a good time." The guy picks up the lemon.
"Well, thank you very much. I was thankful for the opportunity. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, there you go. 6 drops of lemon juice. How are you doing today?"
Everybody in the bar's freaking out. The bartender's like, "Well, for the first time in my life, I'm having to pay out this $1,000. I don't know what I'm going to do." He said, "Buddy, what do you do for a living?"
He said, "Well, I don't lift weights or anything like that. I just work for the IRS."
Turn to your neighbor and say, "It can come out of you. It can come out of you. You think it's not in there. You think nobody can get it out. You think you're dry. You think it's over. I'm telling you, it's still in there. Well, I'm 74 years old. God's not done with you yet. If you're still on the planet, there's still purpose in your life. If you're still on the planet, God still has a reason that you're here. If you're still on the planet, it is not by accident. If you miss the accident, it's not by accident. I'm telling you, you're still here for a reason." And here's the way the press works. They take it, they crush it, they turn it, they break it, and they rotate it, and they press it again. They take it, they rotate it, they press it again, and they apply more pressure. Everybody say, "More pressure." We're praying for the pressure to come off of our life, but instead of just praying to get out of the circumstance, why don't we get something out of the circumstance? And they turn it, and they rotate it, and they apply more pressure, and they turn it, and they rotate it, and they apply more pressure. In Judges 7, Gideon, he finally accepts that there's a leader on the inside of him, and he decides to go lead, and he gathers 32,000 men. And out of the 32,000 men, it's still not enough to beat him. So he goes to God, and he's like, "God, all I got is 32,000 men." He's already been pressed, crushed once. Now he's rotated to try and lead these guys. He's like, "God, what do I do?" And God said, "I'll tell you what you do. You ask every man who's too timid, who's too scared, and who's not ready, and tell them it's okay, they can go home." He said, "What?" He said, "Do it." He did it, and 22,000 men left. He didn't have enough to start with. Does this sound like your checkbook? And he sends 22,000 away. He gets turned and crushed and pressed again. He said, "God, we certainly don't have enough to do it now. What do we do?" God says, "You know what? Here's what you do. You tell them all go down and get a drink." And they're drinking. And he says, "Now what, God?" He says, "Everybody who's just drinking out of the brook, they go home. Only the men who are cupping up the water and looking for the enemy, those are the only ones that stay." And Gideon says, "But God, that's only 300 men. He gets more pressure, turned, rotated, and broken again. You see, the amazing thing about wine is this. The 30% that comes out by massive pressure but doesn't make it bitter, that's the expensive stuff. It takes more pressure, more rotation. It might seem like the world is spinning. There's more pressure than I can handle. I don't even know which way is up anymore, but all I know is I can't even see straight, and I'm being pressed on. God says that's because the good stuff is coming out. That's the stuff that's expensive, and they even take that expensive stuff and add it to the cheap stuff, and it makes this stuff more expensive by getting just a little bit of that. You think that first part that came out of you was your good stuff. I'm telling you, the best is yet to come. Gideon ends up winning the war. But here's the disclaimer. You ever watch Spotify and you see that song you've listened to on the radio, you go to Spotify and it says like explicit and you're like, "Oh, there's bad words in that." Here's my explicit warning for this message. Here's the warning about what we can do. we can begin to let God press on us, and then when the good stuff starts coming out, and it might be oozing out of every part of your life, you might be thinking, it's coming out the top of me, it's coming out the front of me, somebody needs to use me, I am gifted, I am talented, they need to promote me, I need to start my business, I need to get married, I'm oozing this good stuff. But God, you're not sending me the spouse, you're not sending me the opportunity, they won't promote me, they won't use me. It's because the vintage is important. You see, even the two-buck chuck wine, they make it and they leave it at the winery for 6 to 9 months. Because if you use it too quick, the flavor's bad. And nobody even wants it. The Bible says, raise up a novice and you'll smart for it. When the good stuff starts coming out, we think we're ready to go. But God needs us to wait. You know, a $10 bottle of wine, $20 bottle of wine, that is even going to stay in the winery for 2 years. 2 years, God? I make it through this pressing and you want me to wait 2 years? Well, if you want to be the $10 or $20, but if you want to be the $100, if you want to be the $500. When we were in Australia, we were talking to a guy who was talking about a time he went to lunch and he had picked up the tab. Well, he didn't realize what he had done. One of the guys at the table had ordered a bottle of wine, and he didn't think anything about it. But when he picked up the tab, that bottle of wine was $9,000. Everybody say, the good stuff. That bottle of wine was like 20 years old. I want to venture to say, there might be a gifting in you that was born 20 years ago. And you're like, my time has passed. I lost my dream. It used to be in there, but I don't even know anymore. I'm here to submit to you today that now is when it's really valuable. You see, because even Moses had to spend 40 years on the back of a mountain. Why? To get rid of his insecurity. Shepherd boy David had to spend time on the back of a mountain honing his craft, learning to kill the lion and kill the bear. Even Jesus had to spend 30 years on the earth with miracle-working power in his hands. And he couldn't do the miracle because he had to wait for God's authority. I'm telling you right now, Esther was an orphan child and she had to wait 12 months and wash off who she wasn't so she could step into who she was called to be. Joshua had to follow around Moses and sit in the tent and watch Moses talk face to face to God. And he wanted in on the conversation, but they wouldn't invite him to the meeting. He had to learn patience so he could take the reins from Moses and lead him into the promised land. I'm telling you, the good stuff is coming out. Be patient with God. Let him press on you, and he's going to bring more out of you than you ever knew was in you. Somebody give him a sound of praise. Woo. Everybody stand up with us for 1 second. You know, we were very intentional today. We sang a song. I don't know who led that song. Come up here with me. Ashton, my daughter. We sang a song, and you might not have paid attention to the words. But we're going to sing it again just for a moment, because I think it's going to mean something different. Will you sing the very beginning of that song for us?
In the crushing, in the pressing, you are making new wine.
Make these your words.
In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking my ground.
Make me a vessel.
So make me a vessel.
Make it your prayer.
Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be.
Oh, I can't. That's why I want to pray for you in the crushing. If you feel like there's pressure in your life right now, I want you to go ahead and just lift your hands online, on television. Well, you can't see me. It doesn't matter. God sees you. That's what matters. Father God, I just decree and declare over my friends that we feel this pressure, and the enemy has tried to use it to sour us and make us bitter and unusable. But God, that very same pressure is what you're using to draw out of us what we didn't even know was there. But you knew. You knew it, and you placed it there. Before you created the world, you knew what you were going to place in each and every one of us. And you didn't just waste it. You did it on purpose. You are an intentional God. So that means as we let that out, there is a purpose for it. There is fulfillment in it. Right now, I speak to the leader in each and every person within the sight of my voice. And I said, you come out of them. You manifest. You rise up. Children of God, take the place that God has called you to. Allow it to press into you in the name of Jesus. Father, we open our hands to you and we say, press on us, God. Pull out of us, God. We trust you, God. And God, every door that you open, no man can shut. Opportunities are coming. Challenges are coming, and you're bringing more opportunity, and you're bringing more blessing. I speak blessing, breakthrough, and favor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Somebody here got a hand clap of praise.
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.